Who says I can't get ready quick? Here we go. Ha. Right, welcome to the 12 man podcast. Live on Red Army, the Red, sorry. And yeah, in all your popular places, etc. Spotify, Amazon, all that sort of good stuff. So yeah, I'm just get myself onto Facebook now, and then we'll get going. How are you?
All good, mate. All good.
Good, good. All recovered from Saturday.
Didn't take much recovering from, did it?
No.
Didn't. I think we're typical Borough. Beat the team top of the league, get the double over them. And as we're going to later, that performance on Saturday, so...
Exactly.
Happy days.
Here we go. Here we are, live on Facebook now. We're live on Facebook, so wave. John, wave. There we go. That's it, that's him waving for you. Can you not hear me? Hang on. What about now? Oh well, soon find out if they can hear me. Dicko, can you hear me? Dicko, can you hear me?
I can hear you just, but not properly. No, it's not properly.
What about now?
That's getting better.
I'm just going to have to talk louder.
Yeah, that's better, yeah.
It's like a Phoenix Nights thing. This. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, John, don't. Can you hear you cuts? No problem.
Right, so I have to step away from the mic a little bit. But that's fine. I've got no problem doing that. Right. Can John hear me? Can you hear me now, John?
Yeah, I can hear you now. But your slaving doesn't have this problem.
So yes, here we are, live on Facebook. All our other platforms, you know, everybody knows where to find us. We're that popular these days. So got me, Steve Jackson, I'm your host for the evening. Mr. Cutler's with me. Evening, Cutts.
Evening.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm just tickled by...
I'm just trying to get real for that bit.
It's all right for you. It's all right for you. So it'll be me and Jacko that are getting hoyed out in a minute.
I can't wait to get lynched. Can't wait for that. Mr. Steve Dixon's with us. Evening, Dicko.
Evening, lads. Okay?
Aye, sound. And
good, good.
Back from his mid-season trip abroad. I hope we've got some summer bookings. Mr. John Donovan's with us. Evening, John Dan.
Now then, how are you doing?
We're good. Nice tan.
Oh, well, you know, a few meetings to attend, but in between, I was sat in the sunshine, so that was all right.
There you go. Happy days. So there you go. That's what a celebrity does, people, if you didn't know. So here we go. So we're going to talk. Saturday. Whose fault was it? Was Michael Carrick right for owning up? Was it his fault? Was the players to blame as much as the manager?
Jacko, you've gone quiet, mate.
I've gone quiet. Have I? I have no idea. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you really well. Am I quiet as well, or am I all right?
You're okay, but it's just Jacko's a little bit quiet.
Why am I quiet?
I tell you what, this is as professional as Saturday.
I'm never quiet. That's the most annoying bit.
Not for the.
We'll have a good second half on here, though, John.
Won't be annoying for the listeners. They'll be loving your silence, Jacko.
I know. They'll all be loving it, won't they? I'm going to keep going. If it gets better, just start like waving at me and saying yes. All Facebook's going to laugh at you for waving, but it's all good. But yeah, so we're going to chat Saturday. We're going to chat. That disembarkle. And then we'll preview Saturday's game, third bottom Stoke. We're visiting.
What did you call it there, by the way?
I was just going to pull him up on that. A disembarkle.
That's a new word on me. Disembarkle.
There you go. Teaching it every day. That's what I'm doing.
I think you meant debacle. Did you mean debacle?
I probably did, to be fair.
I think disembarkle is a level above.
Probably. Yeah, we'll have to. Yeah. Yeah, what a disembarkle. So, the show's been up to now, to be honest.
Great start, this, isn't it? Absolutely superb start.
If you're listening,
I blame Slaven.
If you're listening, bear with us. We'll get there.
I'm still going to blame Slaven.
God, that's a
hard one. He's figged about with the voice levels.
Right, so, before we start, are we all alright? Are we all okay?
All good.
Ready to go, Jacko.
I wish I was ready to go.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Let's have it.
You said that.
Can I put a suggestion in, by the way? Can we just not talk about Saturday's match? Just maybe, I don't know, do your favourite recipe or tell a couple of jokes, because I don't really want to talk about Saturday.
I can tell you first joke if you want. I'll go through the starting 11. I thought that was a bit of a mess. but that's where I'll start. I'll start with the starting 11. Coach, you're always a big advocate. There's a new word for you as well, if you didn't know that one. Of, if you've earned it, you keep it.
Yeah.
Why did we go back to a back four?
I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. As you lads know, I haven't been the biggest fan of Engel up to now, but he was part of that team that won 2-1 at Tabletop as an high fly in Leicester. And for me, if you're putting in the performances, you deserve to keep the shirt. I know I've signed Luke Thomas, who's highly rated, but he's not pulled up any trees here. I was a bit disappointed that Engel was dropped, to be honest. I don't see what kind of a message that sets to the rest of the squad. So, like I say, I've always said, if you play well one week, you deserve to keep the shirt, and it didn't happen. I think Clark's done all right since he's come back off injury as well. And personally,
boys, I don't know whether you can hear me, but I can't hear a thing. How about you, Dicko?
Yeah, it's went really quiet. It seemed to kick in okay, then it went quiet again. So something's going on with the sound.
Yeah, so much going on. Your levels are up and down, and John, you faded away to nothing there. I'm sorry about it, but it's pointless you talking if we can't hear you.
It's pointless him talking more, so he's, but I just don't tell him. They can't hear me say that either, so this is a bit of a shame. But
if you can't hear us very well, if Dicko and John, you would take it away and talk about the game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's.
Should we go off and should we talk with John and let them try and sort the sound out?
Well, yeah, but I mean, and how about starting again, sort the sound out, and then start again? I mean, it's pretty poor, this, to be honest. I know it's not your fault in the studio, lads, but your volume to us, and no doubt to anybody listening on Facebook. Sometimes you're audible. Sometimes we just can't hear.
Yeah, something I've got to sort out, isn't it? Hang on. I'm trying to adjust all of the sound levels while I'm talking. This is. I can't swear.
It seemed to click in before, then it went back off again.
Hang on. Did that click in?
That's better, yeah, perfect.
Ooh, I don't know what I did. I feel like a genius. Right, okay.
Do you want to start again, Jacko?
Like I've said, as you lads know, I've never been the biggest fan of Engel, but we're talking about the team sheet. He was part of the team that won at Leicester, high flying, and for me, I was a bit disappointed that he was left out. I know we've signed Thomas from Leicester and on loan, and whether it's in his contract that he should be playing a certain amount of games, but yeah, I was a bit disappointed Engel was left out. I think Clark's done alright since he's been back. The change of formation and shape is obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing. We can all talk about it now, but as you lads know, I say it every week, I'm a big advocate of if you're played well in the week before, you should be playing the next week. I don't know what type of message that sends out to players who were and maybe class themselves as bench players or whatever, because at that rate you're never going to get a sniff. I also would have brought Senny Dieng back in. I think Glover's done alright as a whole, but I think he's been shaky the last couple of weeks. And I'd have had Dieng back in the team as well.
Yeah. Dicko, I'll hand over to you. What did you think of the team?
Dally, who was on, last week, Dally sort of said he would have kept the same formation that's been working away from home against Leicester. Then I sort of argued the point that at home, I understand why Carrick likes to go to his tried and tested formation of 4-2-3-1. Because we're playing against poor opposition at home and we should be taking the game to them, not sitting back. But in hindsight, I think Daly is probably got it spot on. I just think Middlesbrough haven't got the personnel to play the Michael Carrick way at the moment. We haven't got players to bring the ball out from the back that are good enough. We're bereft of pace in the side at the moment, whether that's because Isaiah Jones isn't in the team and Latty Alat's not up to fitness. In the centre of the park, I just don't think that Dan Barlasa and Lewis O'Brien are up to the job is a two. I think both are suited better to with a three, where it gives them a little bit more protection. I think they're really exposed as a two, Lewis O'Brien and Dan Barlasa, for different reasons. Don Barlasa hasn't got the pace. He gets caught too deep. He keeps giving the ball away. Lewis O'Brien is a player, is better on the front foot. He hasn't really got the physicality to be a centre midfield player in a two. And I think both are suited to a three. So I think with hindsight, we should really have more or less lined up as we did against Leicester to give both of those players a bit more protection and extra body in there. And also the extra body at the back, because we toiled all day at the back. We were poor. We kept getting myself in trouble playing out from the back. It's a topic of debate in football at the moment. Playing out from the back, my take is, if you're good enough to do it, brilliant. But if you're not good enough to do it, you're going to have to adapt your game. And against Leicester, we adapt our game. We're goalkeeper against Leicester, Glover, he mixed it up from the back. He played some long balls into the channels, into the midfield, because we were wary of Leicester's threats. But on Saturday, we went back to our old habits. Just, you know, needlessly playing myself into trouble at the back. As I say, Barlasa and O'Brien had no protection. Doesn't suit them in the middle of the park. And we had absolutely nothing up front. Michael Carrick, we're obviously going to talk about it. He made a lot of mistakes on Saturday. John Cutler alluded to it before. I don't think Engel done enough to get dropped for the game, even if it was just tactically wise. To start the game with no centre forward and try to get away with playing McGree in the Zaz, switching around up front, was a disaster. And after the game, Michael Carrick sort of admitted it was on him and he made mistakes. Now, yes, he's protecting his players, but I generally think he knew he had made some big calls and got them wrong. Glover in goal is proven to be a really good number two. I think he's done well, but he is a number two and a good number two at the moment. And I think probably Dieng should have come back in for the Leicester game and continue to be in goal on Saturday. So he's made some big calls. He's held his hands up. He's admitted his mistakes. He's a young manager. But I think if we're going to progress this season, certainly at home, we can't continue to play with the players we've got 4-2-3-1, especially with Isaiah Jones missing. I mean, Einstein's theory of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, at the minute, Michael Carrick's that person. He's insane, because we keep playing these average teams at home, playing the same way and getting done, whether it be Bristol City, whether it be Rotherham, whether it be Plymouth. He needs to change it up. But I'll let you guys come in, because, you know, we've got lots to get through on why we were so poor on Saturday.
I think there's a nail on the head.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I can add to that. I really don't.
What about you, John? What were your thoughts on Saturday?
Dicko mentioned there about Leicester and the way we mixed up our approach from when Glover had the ball. And I think that's the way to do it, because before they scored their goal, I think we were robbed about two or three times trying to play out the ball up in the back. They were pressing. They obviously done homework on us, and they pressed us really, really hard from the first whistle. And we lost possession cheaply. And we'd done it a couple of times before they'd even scored the first. And I just think if you can see that you're not gonna get away with playing the ball up in the back as early as 5-6 minutes, then knock the ball long into the corners for Force and Silveira to chase. Okay, we haven't got a big man up front. We can't aim for him. We haven't got blistering pace up front, so we can't expect it to be latched onto by a pacey forward. But I don't mind losing the ball in the opposition's half. I don't want to lose it on the edge of our 18-yard box, or even Dan Balassa sometimes comes within the 18-yard box to receive the ball. I don't like losing it there. So we need to be able to change. If we see that it's clearly not working, we're too predictable. Clubs do a job on us and see that we're a bit laboured as well when we play the ball from the keeper and try to play it out to the back. Balassa's facing our goal. He hasn't really got an idea a lot of the time where he's going to go with the ball. And more often than not, he's rushed into making a rash decision that either doesn't find the next man or puts the next man under pressure, and we eventually lose the ball. It's a little bit frustrating because we're beating ourselves. Teams aren't beating us because they're far better than us. We are beating ourselves with our propensity of giving the ball away far too often.
Propensity, yeah? What a word.
Who gave you a thesaurus in it, Therese? That's a hell of a word.
You gave me one that I can add to my dictionary tonight, didn't you?
I don't bring Jaeger anymore. I bring dictionaries. but you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. I can't really add much more to that.
It's massively frustrating. Our home record, the teams we're losing against, we find ourselves too often 2 goals down. And once you're 2 goals down, the opposition, they're just going to do 2 banks of 5 and just shut everything down. You know, it's very, very difficult coming back from that position.
I mean, the home record this year is absolutely abysmal. And I know it's our football club, but do we think that these players are better than they actually are? Or are we just, I would imagine from an outside view from other clubs, they're looking at us and they're thinking, so-and-so is poor. Are we as good as we actually portray? Even on this podcast, I go on about certain players all the time. Are they as good as we're actually saying? Because we've been beaten far too many times at home this year. And you can talk about Carrick coming out and taking the blame for certain things. Other than Lath, Engel and Dieng, would them three have made any difference on Saturday? Or are the players just not good enough? I don't know.
Go on, John, you're okay. Go on.
I was just going to say, I just think we need to be able to adapt our game once we see the shape of it after a few minutes. If we're giving the ball away, then don't keep on doing that. Knock it long. Try and sort of like stop trying to give the bloody ball away. It's so frustrating. Dicko, you take over because I'm going to swear.
No, I was just going to say I think the big miss is Isaiah Jones. He gets us up the pitch quicker. He's got the pace. He gets Middlesbrough up the pitch quicker. So he's a huge miss. But I got called a little bit at the start of the season for being a bit negative and a bit miserable when I was saying, you know, I think sixth place at best is what we're looking at. If we go and improve ourselves in January, who knows, we could do even better. But I think if we're being honest with ourselves, and all Middlesbrough fans are being honest with themselves, even those who wear rose-tinted spectacles, it was going to be a real tough ask this season on the players that were let go and replaced them with lots of potential and young players. That's no slight on the club, because you can see which way they're going. They're trying to bring in, like they did with Morgan Rodgers, for £1 million and sell them for £15 million. Nobody can complain about that business. But there's been a little bit of, I think, all season, hidden behind it. Middlesbrough Football Club haven't really fancied themselves this season because of a few things. I think looking at the teams that were going to be in the division this year, some huge clubs with huge parachute payments. And the way Middlesbrough were trying this season to be almost like a stepping stone season to develop players and to get better. I think Middlesbrough have always had the eye more on next season. They can't come out as a club and stay that. But I think this has been like a bridge building season by Middlesbrough to bring in these players, develop them. I don't think it was particularly to look to sell them on. I think Rodgers was just a complete fluke. Develop them. And then their next season, have a real tilt at it. Now, that's a real difficult sell for supporters to say we've almost like, we're going to say we're going for the playoffs, we're going to say we're going for promotion, but reality is, we are where we are at the moment financially with the teams that have come down, the teams that have come up. This season was like a season of development and trying to get stronger. What's caught Middlesbrough this season is the injuries, because I do still feel if we hadn't lost certain players for the length of time we've lost them, we could have still challenged for those playoff spots. And the club have been hugely unlucky with the injury situation. There's no getting away from that. I don't care, even if you're, you know, the most pessimistic Middlesbrough fan, you can't ignore the fact we've lost some big players for large parts of the season. And I think if we'd had them, we would probably still be now on the cusp of a playoff spot. I had a little delve into what you're on about cuts with my home form. And an interesting
glasses
are off. I can't read my stats without my glasses. So I thought it was quite interesting. Our home form at the moment this season was 17th in the league. Played 17, won 6, drew 3, lost 8. Points 21 out of a possible 51. Now, last season, that was our strength. Played 23, won 13, drew 7, lost 3. 46 points we took last season at home. 46 to 21. So that's a massive difference in where we are this season. But what I found was quite interesting was when you looked at the away form. The away form last season, we played 23, we won 9, drew 2, lost 12. And we accumulated 29 points away from home last season with the fantastic team we had last season. This season, out of 16 games, we've already accumulated 23 points. We're 7th best in the league. So we're on track probably this season to get more points away from home than last season. So it's glaring where the problem lies. It's at home. Goals at home. Tactically at home. And like I said, I think injuries have impacted our season massively at home. So it's one of those where, as a Middlesbrough supporter, you're just going to have to take it on the chin a little bit this season in hope next season the club, as I say, I'm convinced the club have this plan, that this season was a development season for Middlesbrough to take a stepping stone on certain players and build on the squad and then really have a real push for it next season. But I think injuries this season have absolutely decimated the plans. That doesn't excuse the club for not going for it in January, by the way, and not bringing a striker in January. That doesn't excuse that. That was lack of ambition for me. Letting Morgan Rodgers go and Matt Crooks go, not replacing those players, that was still lack of ambition. But was it lack of ambition, or was it a case of we're keeping our powder dry because we don't want to go and waste X amount of money on a Kiefer Moore on loan for a few months that might get into the playoffs but might not? Or we can keep that money, keep our powder dry and have a real push next season. Now, depending on which side of the fence you sit on, that's the argument as we stand at the moment.
So we had... Go on, John, sorry.
No, you go first, go on.
I was just going to say, obviously, with regards to that, we had Kieran on the podcast the other week and he was quite open about us looking at certain strikers and they discussed it and the club thought for the money that these wanted and they weren't a perfect fit that they decided not to do it. Now, some fans might not like this, but I would prefer us not to spend any money on a striker than do what we did under Gary Monk, where we wasted X amount of millions of pounds on strikers that just weren't good enough for this football club. It's easy, would have been easy for Gibbo, like Kieran said, or to go out, buy a striker, appease certain fans, there we've brought someone in, and it, to set the club back a few years. I would just much prefer, if it wasn't what the club wanted, they didn't like something about the particular player, let's just... They will never admit that they've wrote the season off. And I'm one of the most optimistic fans out there. There's no way we make the playoffs now this season. We're not going to do it. So let's keep the money in the bank and hopefully we will have a go in the summer.
like I say, I don't want us to see us blown millions and millions of pounds on players that just aren't good enough. Asombalonga, Fletcher, that was absolutely ridiculous, the money we spent on some of them players, and it set us back to where we are now. So I don't mind. I don't want to go and watch rubbish football. Saturday was rubbish. We can't polish a turd. It's the way it is. But I'd much prefer it if it means we're going to be stronger in the summer and for next season to give it a real go. So I totally get where the club are coming from.
The thing is, I mean, you look at the players and you see what they're capable of in some games, beating Leicester, beating Chelsea, pushing Villa. So you know that the ability is there to do it in certain games, but it's the other games, you know, like you say, Rotherham, 1 point off Rotherham, Bristol City, got nothing off them. Saturday, you know, Plymouth, again, we've took 1 point there. It's frustrating. Consistency is what gets you to the higher end of the table, and we have just not got that at all. We're capable. We have the players who can do it, but not on a consistent level. It's frustrating, yeah, and I bet it's frustrating for Michael Carrick as well. But you know, as a paying customer at home. I say customer, but obviously we're fans, but we're customers to the club. You want your home form to be better than your away. You expect your home form to be better than your away form, but it hasn't been the case, and it's disappointing.
But it's not been working for a while, John. And the frustrating thing with a lot of the supporters is looking at Michael Carrick and, you know, looking at his tactics and thinking, why aren't you changing it at home? It hasn't worked now for weeks. What are you watching that we're not watching? Because we've seen some decent performances of late with the back five, even at home against Aston Villa with the five at the back, Chelsea with the five at the back, obviously Leicester away with the five. If we haven't got the personnel at the moment to play the way he wants to do in the pretty football at home like last season, he's going to have to bite the bullet, because at the moment, the most important thing for the club is to get fans back on side. After some poor PR, after putting the prices up for the season tickets, and make Middlesbrough a commodity that people want to go and watch again. And the way you start doing that is winning at home. And if that means that we'll win at home from now to the end of the season, and we'll win a little bit more ugly than usual, and take a couple of 1-0s, so be it. Let's get some points on the board, get some points at home. And if you've got to change your tactics till the end of the season, that's the right thing to do. So I really hope Michael Carrick does this, because I don't see it getting any better with the players we've got, because quite frankly, some of the players we've got from now to the end of the season won't be here next season and just aren't good enough.
Deco, you have to be careful what you say. You don't want it taken out of context. You don't want it clicked.
Don't you be editing the game this week, John.
Just be very careful. No, but you were on about the back five there. To be fair, I see it as a back three with the extra two, yeah, two. In midfield. But I know exactly what you're getting at. Yeah. I thought that should have changed at half time. I thought that would have been ideal to change at half time. If we'd have got an early goal, you'd never know what it might have done to the crowd, might have done to the sort of the way the game was going. But nothing happened. You know, his second half was, in fact, you know, we were lucky to have 2-0 at half time. And then Glover made a couple of saves second half. We could have been truly embarrassed on Saturday.
I'd rather see moving from now to the end of the season. We've got two fullbacks who are low knees. In Luke Ayling and Luke Thomas. Now, I'm disappointed in Luke Thomas because I thought he was going to be a decent player for us on loan. But he's flat out to deceive, and he doesn't look anywhere near the player he was a year and a half ago, what I've seen of him. Luke Ayling came in, done a couple of battling performances, you know, like a really experienced old pro against Millwall away and stuff like that. But he's lapsed back into what he actually is, which is a player past his best. He was on loan to make a few quid till the end of the season. Now, for me, moving forward, I would rather we went, if he's fit, Zaya Jones, right wing back, Luke Engel, left wing back, because they're our players. And if Jones isn't there, stick Anthony Dykstale in. He's our player. And just play them till the end of the season and see where we'll go. These players won't be here next season, Thomas and Aylin. So if they're not going to be here, we're not going to make the playoffs. We're not going to get relegated. Play players that might be here next season and see what they can do. Give them a chance.
Well, Luke Aylin sometimes leaves us exposed when he sort of pushes on forward. And then, you know, he's slow, isn't he, to be honest? Yeah. He's quite slow. Yeah. He doesn't get back. He leaves us a bit exposed. So that would be less of an impact if we had three central defenders. You know, we could cover across. But, yeah, I thought the change could and should have been made at half-time, you know, to try and give us something to get us back into the game. But, I mean, can I just say something about the first goal? When I watched it at the ground, I thought Glover was a little bit... I thought it was harsh, the criticism that he got, but I've watched it again, and I think where he's pushing that shot out to, it's right into the danger zone. He could have, I don't know, you the keeper, Dicko, tell me, do you angle your hands to push the ball away from goal? I mean, is that what happens? He just seemed to push it straight out into the danger zone, and our defenders just didn't react. The Plymouth player reacted straight away.
Well, the old saying...
Exactly right. Sorry, Scott, I'll just... Exactly right, what you're saying. It's a skill, it's an art in goalkeeping. And I was always told when I played that you're better pushing the ball around the post for a corner than keeping the ball in play. Because if it goes for a corner, the ball's dead. So you'd have an art where, first of all, you try and catch the ball. And I've got to be honest, John, I thought it was catchable. I've seen a lot of goalkeepers over my time that would have just took that ball and kept a hold of it. But he's pushed it out. Like you say, push it wide to the corner flag or push it out for a corner. He put it straight in the danger area. It was poor goalkeeping. And, you know, he's come in the team and he's done okay as Glover, and he's proven that he was a capable signing for what he came in, a young goalkeeper. He's come in, he's got experience, he's played more games than he thought he'd play. And for the majority, he's done okay. But as of late, like the rest of the team, he's been guilty of his form dropping slightly, and the mistakes have started to creep into his game against Sunderland and obviously on Saturday. He made a brilliant double save on Saturday, by the way, in front of the North Stand, which was credit to him. But I just think now would be a good time for his confidence, for him, and for Middlesbrough to bring Dieng back in.
Well, I don't know what that would do for his confidence, but I agree Dieng should be back in.
Well, I think his confidence would be that he's played more football this year. If you look at the season as a whole, you'd never have thought he's going to come in and play as many games and playing cup semi-finals and stuff like that. So overall, he's done quite well. I think his stock's risen from what it was when we signed him. But I think now's a good time just to take him out the firing line. Fingers are starting to be pointed at him. He's only a young lad. And bring Dieng back in. And let's be honest, Dieng is slightly better than Glover with his feet. You know, he does mix it up a little bit better than Glover, even though he's done okay. So I just think now's the time to bring Senny Dieng back in. And Senny Dieng's an experienced player as well. You know, he's played a lot of football, maybe a bit more of a calmer, cooler head at the back, organisation with his defenders as well. So for me, I'll be amazed if Dieng doesn't start at Stoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay,
there you go. I'm going to bring in you, because you're going to do exactly what I was going to tell you to do there. Not in a threatening way. Go on Facebook, have a little look. A
couple of messages in there. Jeff Harland, I think Carrick was brought in for a minimum of 3 years to build a side capable of sustaining the first couple of seasons in the Premier League.
Is he going to be here for 3 years? Or?
If we're getting there next season, he will get an extension. Ferguson did nothing for the first 5 years. Dave Lean, just tuned in, lads. Could have been leathered by half-time. Carrick is showing the Mowbray and Pulis stance of I'm in charge, I make decisions. McGree will not be here next season. Take your best player off. Puzzles me.
I'm sorry, before we go into that bit, have we just been compared to Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United?
I don't think Jeff was doing that, to be fair, but yeah.
Say, come on.
When you were talking there about the goalkeeper, I always remember my dad saying to me years ago when we used to watch football on the telly and that, the keeper could have put his cap on that. And funny enough, on Saturday, that user saying there he should have caught it, and etc. That's what came in my head. He could have put his cap on that. It was a goalkeeping mistake, in my opinion. That should have caught it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was.
Just on Davey Lean's point about McGree, I thought that was an interesting. Well, you know, I've had my conspiracy theories about McGree all season, and it was a strange decision to play him up front. Your best player, he's an attacking midfield player, and he kept switching with Izaz in the front position. That's never Riley McGree's position. But even then, for me, he wasn't one of the worst players, even though it was a really poor display. You always think McGree's capable of pulling something out of the bag. So I was a little bit surprised to see him get the hook first, ahead of, I think there was other players ahead of him to get the hook. And when he come off, did you notice that he more or less just stormed past Carrick and down the tunnel? There was no real handshakes or nothing like that. So I still think there's more to meet the eye with what's going on with Riley McGree. I hope not, because I keep saying he's probably the best player. But he didn't look very happy to be taken off on Saturday.
I'm gonna chip in about Riley McGree, if I may.
You may.
Thank you. Why? I'm just being polite. Right. A lot of criticism came the way of Finn Izaz on Saturday. A lot. Or, as we called him, wrongfully, Zinedine Izaz. Right. He got a lot of criticism on Saturday. Why is Riley McGree immune to that?
I don't think any player in that team on Saturday is immune to any criticism. Because we can sit here and we can have a go at Carrick for tactics or whatever, but players have to show professional pride. Not one of them players out of that 11, including the subs that came on maybe, will have been above a 5, and that's being kind. They were nowhere near what we know that they're capable of. So is that down to the manager? I know he takes all the blame because ultimately that's his job.
Yeah.
But the players have got to show a bit of professional pride. I've said a million times on here, I can take defeat as long as the players look like they're putting it in. I didn't see that on Saturday.
No, I didn't.
And
did you not see Vandenberg at the end? He was absolutely distraught. He was he stood just in the middle of the pitch, and he was just shaking his head, and he was like throwing his arms up. Must have been having a good conversation with himself. He was absolutely upset by that performance and by the results. And he's 19-year-old, you know. He's a young lad, but he has got so much. So much professionalism to be hurt by a performance like that and a defeat like that. Probably angry with himself as well, you know, because he knows he didn't cover himself in glory at the game. But that's how I want players to be. I want them to feel it like us fans. I do. I want the players to feel how we do at that, after a performance like that.
Well, we've mentioned...
He's probably perplexed. Go on, John, you go on.
No,
you're right,
I was going to say, we've mentioned on here plenty of times in the past about lack of leadership on the pitch. Now, we've got Johnny, who leads by example. I would say Lenihan is a natural leader. I think we've missed him massively, and I've said for a couple of years, he until Vandenberg came in and improved what he is this year, Lenihan's our best centre-half at this club, apart from Vandenberg now, who will actually have a go at players. So after we went 2-0 down on Saturday, I didn't see anyone absolutely ripping into anyone. Imagine if Grant Ledbetter or Mowbray were on that pitch on Saturday. We don't have anyone who's going to give them good rollicking while it's going on, and that's what you need. You can talk about flair players all you want. We need somebody who can put the foot in and if needs be, really have a go at the players on the pitch. We haven't got anyone without Lenihan. Who've we got? Nobody.
You're right.
It's a massive hole in that squad, leaders. Grant must be watching upstairs, and he must be thinking, I tell you what, I could put my boots on there and he wouldn't have been as bad. And give him a good rollicking. Mm-hmm. That's what we need.
We didn't address that problem last season, really. As good as we were last season, we're still lacking a few leaders in big games. And it is a problem that we're too nice to play against. We're too easy to play against. When we go a goal down or two goals down, you don't see anybody pointing the finger. You don't see anybody shaking the fist, rallying them round. And on Saturday, what it needed was, you just mentioned him because I said it at the game, like a Grant Ledbetter. My dad mentioned Tony Mowbray, funny enough, just to rattle into a couple of tackles. Rattle into a couple of tackles and get the crowd going, because the stadium was flat. There was no urgency. There was no passion. There was no leadership on the pitch. And it just transfers itself to the stands. And it's a glaring omission to the Middlesbrough squad. I mean, the only lead, as you've mentioned, in Johnny Howson, he's not really that type of player. He's not really an old-fashioned likes of a Leadbitter, as you said. So it's a glaring omission in our squad. Next season, if we're going to have any opportunity to challenge for promotion, we're going to have to go and find somebody, or hopefully more than one person, two or three players, that are going to be able to take a game by the scruff of the neck and rattle into a few players. And we need to be more physical.
Well, Daniel Chapman, who's a good friend of ours.
Oh, Chappy.
Disagree. Good footballing teams don't need players screaming at them. It's an old school mentality. Well, it didn't do Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira, Graeme Souness, and their teams any harm, did it? So it's not going to do us any harm.
I'll just say one thing to Chappy. I hope you watched the cup final last night, Liverpool against Chelsea. Who won the game? Virgil van Dijk, absolute giant of a man. Liverpool's leader, talisman, captain, who come up with the goods when they needed it. And that's after having a goal disallowed. That, you know, they could have went under Liverpool with a young team. They could have went under. He had his goal disallowed. Who got the winner? He comes back strong. He was the leader. He won the cup for them, didn't he? Every team needs a player like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every good team that's ever won the Premier League, has ever won a major competition, has had a leader. We haven't got one.
I totally agree.
No, you're absolutely right. It's something that we're massively lacking, you know. Another player I'll chuck in that category, you've mentioned that, Tommy Smith.
Funnily enough, when Dicko was on about earlier, on about Ayling and John mentioned him as well, in my head I was dying to say, we've had a player that's been out all season that got a lot of criticism from certain fans,
mm-hmm.
but never ever did he give less than 100%. I would take 11 footballers like him in my team. I tell you, not playing every position, like, but you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Tommy Smith up front. I'll say that, but
or in goal,
but. Leadership wise, he's got all the qualities. I mean, he takes us back all the way back to Sunderland away. But what was the score of that, by the way?
Well, Danny's put who
six? Was it six or four?
Might as well have been six. But I remember that day. I'll go back to what Chappie comes back with in a minute, because I imagine he's going to keep going with this. He was a leader on the pitch that day as well. Because I imagine, all the slack and all the stuff that got chucked at the players, he was the first one to go, get away, you don't want a needless yellow card, you don't want a needless ban, you know what I mean? That's a leader right there. Doesn't have to be screaming, shouting. He just got all of two players and went, get over there now, you know what I mean? That's a leader. He didn't have the armband on that day. Dale Fry had the armband on that day. Leader. I'll just keep saying leader.
Well, it's very rare that we've all agreed with each other, so we'll take that, won't we?
We will.
But we'll need more than Tommy Smith for promotion, that's for sure.
But he's one 11th of that fine formula. I'll say that now. I think it'd be a great addition back to us next season.
I think the club moving forward now, if I had one wish between now and the end of the season, it would be for Steve Gibson to sign Michael Carrick on a new long-term contract before the end of the season and come out and explain why he's done it and how Michael Carrick's going to be the future of Middlesbrough and we're going to have a real go next season. I think that's needed between now and the end of the season, because we're not going to get promoted, we're not going to get relegated, we're all where we are this season for various reasons and various arguments that you can put two and four. But I think if Middlesbrough could tie up Michael Carrick, Michael Carrick and Steve Gibson come out as one in you know, gave an interview or what have you on the future and why he's signed and where Middlesbrough are going for it next season, I think that would appease a lot of supporters a hell of a lot, because I think we need to do something at the moment. It's not a real fun place at the moment being a Middlesbrough supporter, and it's not going to be any better from now to the end of the season. You almost just feel like you're just wishing that next week was the last game of the season, really. And that's not a good place to be when you're trying to sell season tickets.
Well, I think without...
No. We've got 13 or 14 games left. you know, I'm not going to mention playoffs because it's beyond us. Not mathematically, but I think it's beyond us. But you've got to go to next season with the crowd with you. And if we limp towards the end of the season, it's not going to be good. So I don't want the season to end in one game. I want us to utilise as much as we can the remaining games and get a bit of positivity, momentum on the pitch, in the stands, and let's see what next season brings.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you two lads like to see Michael Carrick tied down to a long-term contract?
I would love it. I would absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, are you talking to them too? Oh, no, my bad.
All of us? All of you, yeah.
No, he said two, and then...
Sorry. I only see two on the screen.
Well, I do make up two, so it's absolutely fine. But anyway, but I don't think he'll be here next season.
Really?
Really.
For what reason?
I'd love him to be here. I think he's fantastic. I think he's brilliant. I just think one of the Premier League clubs...
West Ham.
It's gonna come and get him. As much as I'd hate to say it, I just think.
You honestly think he's done enough to get a Premier League job? Because I tell you what, this season, the way we've played, if he had been at Sunderland, he'd have been sacked. I think he's lucky to still have his job. To be honest with you, from where we were last season to where we are this season, I think this season's been really, really poor. I'm not saying it's Michael Carrick's fault, but he has to take a proportion of the responsibility for it. But I would like to see Michael Carrick stay because I do think he's a good manager, and I think he'll have learned a hell of a lot from the season as a young manager under a little bit more pressure, results not going the way, having to change formation and all the rest of it, having a cup run to a semi-final. I think he'll be a better manager next season for this season's the way it went with injuries and suspensions. And I would love Michael Carrick to stay for one more year. And I've just got a feeling Gibbo might back him next season and we could be in for a hugely more successful season next season than this season. But if we lose Michael Carrick and we start again next season with a new manager, for me, we've just took two steps backwards again.
I fully get what you're saying. I absolutely fully get what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with it at all, one bit. I just feel I'd love him to stay. I really would. I'm going to keep saying that. I really would. I think he's got a massive future in football, Michael Carrick. But you say, does he deserve a chance in the Premier League? I could put a list of half the managers in the Premier League. Does Pochettino deserve a chance in the Premier League? Nope. Does Wilder? Nope. You know, I could keep going.
Go on then.
No problem. Thomas Frank, does he really deserve a chance at the moment? They are going horribly at the moment.
He's done a blinding job at Brentford, though, Frank.
They're starting to fall to where from where they were. He's starting to fall.
I don't think Michael Carrick's in Thomas Frank's league yet. I have to be honest, but you
get my point. You know, I just feel that a team in the Premier League, like West Ham, is going to come and knock in and say, "Do you fancy it? Yes or no?"
A year ago, I'd agreed with you, but not now. I don't think anybody will touch Michael Carrick in the Premier League at the moment. I'll be amazed if that happens.
I can just see it happening. Well, I hope it doesn't. I really do hope it doesn't. But anyway, Chappie's sent about 10 messages on there. I've seen his name loads of times. Yeah, he's stopped now.
Yeah, well, an interesting one. I know he goes about with it. No, get rid and get Alex Neil in. Yeah. that'd appease the fans.
Get your season tickets now. Alex Neil's Red and Right Army, 5,000.
How many crying faces did he put after that text? That's got to be tongue in cheek.
Oh, I'm not so sure. We're going by our group chat.
I can't deal with him. But he's only about going back to Sunderland, isn't he? Alex Neil. Yeah. Well. The circus up the road. But you know,
I'm not one for changing managers all the time, mate. I think
no, I'm not.
I think you can only play the hand you're dealt, and I think we've talked about it numerous times. We lost 50-odd million pounds worth of talent last year, maybe more in loan signings and Chuba going. They brought players in that are possibly seen as the future. England, what have you, like a project for the club. And you've got to be honest, the on current form and the form shown this season, Engel's nowhere near what Giles was. We've missed Akpom.
the Archer, Ramsey. We lost a lot of talent last year. So I'm
add that to the injuries as well, John.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm definitely in the. I don't think Carrick's lucky to have a job. I'm quite happy for him to be leading us next season. And I think we're going to see. I don't want to be a load of doom here, but I think we're going to see quite a few poor performances from now to the end of the season. And I just do urge the club to stick with Michael Carrick and let's see what we can do in the summer, because chopping and changing managers every 6 months to a year just doesn't work. I don't want us to be that football club.
No, me neither. Me neither. But
I think he'll have been stung by the widespread boos at half time and full time. You know, it'll have made him think, and you know, it sometimes you do have to have a reality check, and I think the reaction from the crowd it might sting him into making slight changes to his philosophy.
He's been around the game a lot of years, Johnny. He will also have understood where the fans were coming from. He knows the area. He knows the northeast and how tough it is for fans to get money together to go to games. So they want to see performances on the pitch. I think he will have totally understood. But on the other hand, I agree with you, he will have been hurt by it as well. So we'll see what will happen.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, it's not a case of, you know, we have them certain games where fans will boo and you just think, what are you booing? Why are you booing? But that Saturday was justified.
Zero shots on target. Zero.
It's not, against a team that had won once since last April away from home. And that was at Cardiff.
We had a shot on Saturday from within the 6-yard box that went out for a throw-in.
Yeah.
How bad was that?
Yeah. To play 95 minutes and not have a shot on target against the team that had only won once away all season was just horrific, really, wasn't it?
Dicko, he was in the 6-yard box. Hit the target or go close, but it went out for a throw-in.
I know. I left that after that.
That was terrible.
It was a shambles Saturday.
He was closer to the concession stand than he was the goal. I mean, that says it all. You know what I mean? I mean,
we're talking about it there. You're on about that shot. We all know it was Sammy Silvera. So the players we brought in the summer. I know we had Kevin on the other week, and he was very open and honest. The players we brought in the summer, which of them have been a success?
Well, obviously Rodgers, because he's the Aston Villa now, so he was a success. I think certainly Dieng's been a great signing, even though he's not played lately. I think Dieng's been a good signing. Vandenberg obviously looks a player, so he's been a good signing. And probably the rest of them have done okay in patches. Silvera's done okay in patches. Glover's done okay in patches, but not consistently. So probably the rest of them, the jury's still out. But you've got to remember, a lot of my young lads, it's the first season in English football. And like I say, I do think the club had a little bit of a plan for this season to see how they go, develop them. In next season, we're not going to have to rip it up and start again, because they're all Middlesbrough players under contract. So
I think Engel epitomises what you just said there. I think he needs development. I think he will improve next year.
Yeah, possibly will, yeah. There's room for improvement in most of them, to be honest. Look at Riley McGree, and we signed him. He's got better and better. You know, hopefully one or two will be the same. They haven't cost a fortune either, so it's no big outlay if they don't go on to be world beaters. But I do think, certainly in Vandenberg, we've got a player there that could go on to sell for decent money, for sure. I suppose that way, the season hasn't been a disaster with the injuries we've had, because all the players we're talking about have probably played a lot more football than they ever thought they would. So they're probably way ahead of what they should be for next season.
Yeah, they're definitely better off for it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't like this. I don't like me and Dick over agreed about a dozen times.
I don't either.
This is not on.
This is not great, this, is it? But anyway, I'm not going to ask you man the matches, because I don't think anyone deserves it, quite honest. So I will end on a positive note, though. I know, I found one. I'm going to go across to Mr. Donovan. Food bank was quite successful, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're going to ask me figures, aren't you?
No, I'm just going to... I mean, if you don't want to say the figures, that's completely up to you. That's your.
I do, but I haven't got them in front of me. I'm just trying to frantically search for them now.
So that's 1-0 to Dicko because he always comes prepared.
I was just going to more say, talk to us about the turnout, talk to us about, you know, the collection, you know.
Listen, while John's looking through his stats there and what they've got in that. Another shout out to them for going out there and doing that. There's not a lot of money in the area, and every single time that these lads, it's their own time, are going out there, bucket or collecting food or whatever it is you can give. Fair play to each and every one of you, because it's top quality, and everyone who's donated as well.
He looks ready.
Yeah, I was winding it all up. I knew it all along. we raised a total of 351.6 kilograms of food. And £873.04 in cash, which is fantastic. You know, I mean,
who donated the 4p?
Well, I don't know.
that was me.
What a question! Who donated the 4p?
Imagine naming them live.
Yeah. It was Arthur Dundas from Saltersgill. Oh, he donated the 4p. Anyway, it might make all the difference to somebody. No, but it's lovely to see fans, young and old. Obviously, majority of it were Borough fans, but even Plymouth Argyle fans putting coins and notes into the buckets. It's great because it's a vital service for a lot of people. So I don't mind. I don't mind giving up a few hours here and there whenever the food bank is on. I don't mind that. It means I go into the game without a couple of beers inside of me. But do you know what? It's needed and it's necessary, and I'm pleased to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fair play to the lot of you. Fair play to what you donated. And before we move on, fair play to them Plymouth fans who made the journey. It's an absolute killer, that journey.
I tell you what, I had the pleasure of sharing a few drinks with them on Saturday in the Pig Iron. There was about six or seven of them in there. Mm-hmm. We got them on, they couldn't believe the Jaegers were 5 for £10. And let's just say, half two when we left there, they were in good spirits and they were a real good bunch of lads, to be fair. It was the best part of the day.
There you go. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a hell of a journey. Horrible journey to make. I mean, some of them may have started set off, it was 3 o'clock on Saturday morning to get up here. So tip me hats to you. Fair play. Done the journey, it's not nice. Probably have to do the journey again next year, can't wait. So, we'll move on to Stoke. Saturday, Stoke. I'm looking forward to it. I like Stoke away. It's a good trip. Plus John Don's back. You know, we missed John Don at Leicester. The team didn't because we won. So if we get beat, you're getting booted off. Warning.
Can you boot someone off his own bus? I don't think so.
I'm getting booted off the bus that I run. Thanks very much.
Hey, if we get beat. But this game, John Don, they dropped into the bottom three on Saturday. They've had a rotten bit of form. A bit like we have, but they've really, really downturned. And they,
yeah.
I think form-wise, I think one of the worst in the league, which obviously,
yeah, they have.
You know what I mean?
They've plummeted.
So at what point do we get beat 1-0 on Saturday?
We don't. We've got to be wary of a backlash, obviously, because they don't want to be sitting in that position for any time this season, but to find themselves there. So we might find there's a bit of a backlash, but let's take the sting out of them. As has been pointed out earlier, we've picked up more points away than we have at home. Maybe suits us playing away from home because the onus is on others to attack us, and we find sort of gaps to exploit. We're obviously at home. We're giving goals away, and then we can't break teams down. So, yeah, I think we've got to we've got to take the sting out of Stoke City for the first quarter an hour, 20 minutes, and settle down. You know, we've got the players to be able to win at their stadium. Is it still the Bet365? I don't know, but anyway, we've still got the players capable of winning there. So we just have to hope, you know, that we can get the result, because we need the points to take us sort of like a little bit further up the table,
yeah,
away from the danger zone.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. I just know it's the coldest place on Earth on a Tuesday night. When it gets really cold, it's absolutely freezing. I hate that ground, but
I know
he's right.
I know it sounds stupid saying this, but the first goal's vital on Saturday.
I choose.
Because if we score first, that'll be... Their fans will be right on their players' backs. Who's the manager there now?
Stephen Schumacher,
yeah. That's right. The fans there, I mean, they're a decent-sized club, Stoke, and they've had some free-fall, really, to be in the bottom three now.
Massively.
Because the bottom three looked pretty much nailed on not so long ago. If we can get the first goal on Saturday, get their fans on the back and counter-attack them and you know, hopefully get a second and seal the 3 points. I think, like I say, the first goal's massive.
It's huge. It's also a case of we've got to take a bit of initiative on this one because, you know, they want to think we need to stop the rot here. Because they say, I saw you were having a little look at their form as well. Their form is not great. At all.
Funnily enough, I was looking at their starting 11 to see if there's many players in there that I recognise. Now, they've got Ben Peterson on the bench, who I always think is a decent player. He used to play for Preston, but I'm looking at their first 11, and you can see, to be fair, why they're in the bottom three. Because there's not many...
They've lost six of the last seven.
There's not many names on that team sheet.
It says it all, doesn't it, really? You know, if you're losing six of your last seven... They say you really are in free fall.
We all know though that means nothing, though, does it? It means nothing on Saturday.
Nope.
We've got to.
Well, it doesn't win you Middlesbrough because we always do the ridiculous and give team the result that they're looking for. But you know, I would like to think we've got a lot of personal pride because of such a poor performance against Plymouth,
yeah.
And we'll go out with the same attitude as we did against Leicester and set up like John Don wants and I want with a back three wing backs, make it difficult for them and get at them on their counter attack and put them under pressure. And you know, let's be honest, it's there for Middlesbrough to get a result because the pressure's all on them. Our season's just about finished, but we've got pride to play for. We'll have a decent travelling army going down there.
Yep.
You know, they're the ones that should be under pressure. We should be playing freely. But, you know, just at a better intensity with more commitment, more tackles, you know, like we did against Leicester. And if we do that, there's no reason why we can't take 3 points. Let's not do the typical Borough again. And give a team that's in desperate need of points for nothing. Let's go and take it away from them.
Exactly. So with that being said then, obviously, because they're going to sit back, they're not going to go at us on Saturday because they need to stop. Like I said, they've got to stop the rot.
I don't think they will sit back. The fans won't let them sit back.
But I don't see
it happening. They're not going to be happy with the point that Roma was on Saturday. They'll be seeing it as 3 points that they need.
But if every team's, I imagine, everyone's done their homework on us, if they come at us, we'll pick them off. We've done it with Leicester. We've done it with teams in this league. Hell, we did it with Chelsea. We picked Chelsea off on the counter and 1-0. You know what I mean? So, do they want to take that risk? You know what I mean? Because they could get... If we get stuck into them and we score too early, like you said, we could pick them 3, 4, 5 if we really want to.
I'll be amazed if they start the game on Saturday on the back foot. I'll be amazed.
I would be because they've really got to go for it, but they've also got to think, do we really want to get picked off here? Because this really could turn nasty. Mm-hmm. But that being said, you know, I'll ask you all one question before I get your predictions. Do you go back four or back five? Just say back four or back five. Don't give me an explanation.
Back five.
Diggle?
It's got to be a five.
John Don?
Back three.
very good smart ass.
What about you?
Back three with two wing backs. You've got to make sure you've got that security of the two in front of them as well, just to make sure.
I will say one thing, a player that gets a lot of stick on here, not by us particularly, by our fan base, and I always say you never know what you've got till it's gone. How much have we missed Isaiah Jones?
Yep.
Hugely.
Massively.
We haven't won a home game since he's been out injured. We haven't won one home game.
The guy's a real talent. His final ball's not the best, but he's still a relative youngster, a newcomer to the game. I think he's been a massive miss, well, mate, for us.
Put it this way, if you ask Santa for a home win, he's still waiting 2 months later. That's all I'm saying. So we've either been really bad boys or we're really bad at football. And I was a good boy this year. So what are you shitting your head for?
I haven't got a clue what you're on about.
We haven't won a home game since.
Neither of the listeners.
Yeah, I know, but what's Santa got to do with it?
Yeah, but we haven't won a home game since the 23rd of December. That's my point.
Okay, you know, Steve. Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how bad we've been at home. Away from home. I mean, we've been equally as bad, to be fair, but, you know, we beat Leicester last week. You know what I mean? That was quite special last week.
Isn't it typical Borough, though? Like I said earlier, you go and win at Leicester, you the first team in the league, get the double over them. They're going to win the league, probably. And we probably, every single one of us, was sat with our mates last week saying it'll be typical Borough to play Plymouth at home and lose. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
it's just the same following this football club all the time. I mean, I wouldn't change it personally, but is it frustrating?
Oh, massively.
You bet it's frustrating.
Would I keep doing it? Yeah, absolutely. Can't stop. Won't stop. So I'll start with your predictions then.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win and a lot of laugh any time goal scorer.
Oh, so we're actually going to play a striker?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what I'd do.
There's something for you. I'm playing a striker in weeks. Dicko?
I'll go same as John, 2-1. And I'll go Finn Azaz, just out of sheer dedication for what I said last week, because he can't be any worse than he was against Plymouth.
Fair point. John Dan?
Well, I've asked Santa for 3 points, so I reckon we're gonna win 3-0.
3-0?
Wow.
Riley McGree to score anytime.
3-0. Okay.
Someone mentioned when you said that big word earlier that you'd been reading them books in your library behind you. I'm just wondering where that bottle of vodka is to say 3-0.
Which one of them books has got the bottle in?
Jacko was reading them as well earlier, but one of the books is upside down, but he was close.
I can't read. No, I don't try to read.
Can anyone remember what the word was? Because that's definitely got to be the name of this podcast.
Oh, disembark. I know what the word is. It's me.
It's a disembarkle, yeah.
Yeah, it's me that's got to go and do it all, so that I know exactly what's going to be put on. Don't worry about that.
It's a bit like this show. It's been a right disembarkle.
Before we go, just want to mention. I listened to the Red before we come on. Mr. Bernie Slaven, who started talking about Mr. Slaven, who made we late tonight. Mr. Slaven said on his show, who would take over Middlesbrough if Steve Gibson left? Who would take over Middlesbrough? The place that Middlesbrough is, the area that Middlesbrough is, who would take over Middlesbrough? I've heard him recently say when he joined Middlesbrough, he thought he'd landed on the moon. Now, he loves Middlesbrough now, but when he first come here, it's like he landed on the moon. So who's going to take over Middlesbrough? Why would they want to take over Middlesbrough? The area... blah 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 blah. So I just thought, well, Ipswich got took over in 2021, they're doing alright. Brentford got took over 2012, they're doing alright. West Brom 2016, they're doing alright. Hull City 2022, pushing for the playoffs. Wolves 2016, they're doing alright. Burnley 2020, Premier League team. Sunderland 2020, they're ahead of us in the league. All them teams are either above or in the higher division. I don't class Middlesbrough as an area or a town or a football club any worse than any of them. In fact, I think we're bigger than all of those clubs. So, Bernie, if you're listening, do some homework, son.
Any reason why...
Last season, playoff semi-finals. This season, Carabao Cup semi-final. That's not saying it's brilliant, but it's a fair achievement. Better than the other clubs you just mentioned there, apart from the Premier League clubs.
No, the point I'm making, John, is he's saying when Steve Gibson ever goes, who the hell would take over Middlesbrough as a place? And I think I think there'd be a queue to take over Middlesbrough. Fantastic fan base, fantastic place to live, fantastic area, working class town, brilliant training facilities, training ground and stadium. Why wouldn't people take over Middlesbrough? Because they're bigger than all those clubs.
Where's all this come from?
It's a hypothetical question. Should Steve Gibson decide to look for a buyer, then we can discuss it then. But it's hypothetical at the moment. I still see Gibbo as having fantastic ambition for the club. I don't know why Bernie Slaven's talking about the subject.
I 100% agree with it. I don't want Gibbo to change. I think he'll show his ambition next season, hopefully, and he'll be here for many years to come. But nobody's telling me when the time comes for Steve Gibson to move aside, that Middlesbrough won't have a buyer because they will do.
I want to know how the hell we got onto that from me saying what I was going to say the score was on Saturday. Where did that come from?
So just briefly before you do say the score, you agree with everything you both said there.
That's getting clipped.
But me and Jacko were talking to Bernie last week before we came on air about him coming on the pod. If he's listening now, I think we all know the answer.
Appreciate your time, Bernie.
Hey, he loves a debate, Bernie. He loves it. He does. Loves a debate. Loves a debate, Bernie. Good bloke as well.
So, Jacko, what are we going to go for the score?
I was trying to hope that we wouldn't get clipped this week. I think Mar Santi's comment's going to get clipped, and that rant, that Jeff Stelling sort of rant, is going to get clipped as well now.
I love the passion. Well done, Jacko.
Yeah, the passion's great. I love it. I just don't know where it came from. 2-0. I don't know who's going to score.
You have to name one.
What if it's 2-1 goals?
Is that what you're going for? 2-0, 2-1 goals?
No, Marcus.
Well,
you're
just certain goal then. Marcus
Force. Yeah, Marcus Force. 2-0.
Yeah.
And I think after the Geordie equivalent of Jeff Stelling's rant, we'll leave it there. I can't really top that. I can't. I'll try, but I can't. So, apologies for the sound problems at the beginning. Nothing we could do. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm really sorry about that. But we got it sorted. I'm so glad you heard our little rants. Thank you very much for popping in. Thank you for coming on. Thank you too for coming on. John, I'll see you on Saturday.
Pleasure, lads.
No worries.
And
great stuff.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening, coming in, liking, subscribing.
Your comments, keep them coming.
Yeah, it's good to get you involved. And yeah, I'll leave it there. Thank you so much. Toodaloo. Up the Borough, be seeing you.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
See you, boys. Take care.
Ta-ta.
Cheers. Up the Borough.
Up the Borough.
Up the Borough, boys.